Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Junktime AFL Podcast for round 19, 2021. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who agrees with Adam Simpson that every AFL club should only recruit private school kids. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
Oh, g'day, Michael. I mean, I have been pushing for this for years, and finally one of the coaches has listened to me and paid attention. So Adam Simpson came out this week and said because of the soft caps being cut that they were going to probably need to be able to probably choose kids with private school backgrounds and, you know, mum and dad are married and stability in their lives rather than choosing some, you know, rough cut, that, you know, diamond in the rough that they have to really manage and look after. And he said private school boys are the way to go. And I got to say, Adam Simpson, I applaud you, because I think if there's a better person in the world than a private school person, try and find it for me. You can't. If you want salt of the earth, you drive around the eastern suburbs of any city in this fine country of ours, and you won't find better people than that. Like, you can't. That's the thing about these, kids that are from broken families or rough families. They just don't come to a club with a sense of entitlement that a private school kid has. You have to. It takes years. Like Wayne Carey, right? When he first went to North Melbourne, did he think that he was king of the world? No, he didn't. It took years of development. It took thousands of dollars before he became almost the prime example of what a private school person should be.
Gotcha. So that's what football does to players. They teach them what it's like to be a private school kid. Is that what you're
exactly
saying?
Exactly. Like, would a public school kid have had the upbringing to blatantly hide a $1 million Visi kickback out in the open? No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't have had the balls to do that. But a private school kid goes, oh, yeah, this seems normal. Someone's just offering me $1 million and we're saying I'm being an ambassador.
Yeah, sure.
My grandfather, that's how he made his fortune. Of course we're doing this.
Yeah, sure. You just put it in the Cayman Islands. Isn't that what normal people do?
Exactly. And you know what? I think private school kids are going to be a lot more loyal, right, than a public school kid who's fighting for every penny because he grew up with one parent. You know, they had to drive 300 kilometres to each game. The mum was bringing up 15 kids. He's going to fight. He's going to go wherever the dollar is. But a private school kid, he goes, oh, you only offered me 900 grand. I suppose I can take a pay cut like that. Then the investment portfolio that daddy had brought me, I'm happy to stay at this shithouse club. It doesn't matter because I'm going to be fine once my career is over.
Gotcha.
So Adam Simpson, on the money, pat on the back, shouldn't have had to apologise. People, he knows what he's talking about.
That's what I found very funny, actually, by the fact that he literally apologised about half an hour later after he said those words out loud. He was like, I've just said a bunch of stuff. That's going to kick back on me. I better apologise really quickly.
Which, it's amazing that people do come out and kind of attack him, because the West Coast Eagles, you would say, have a pretty broad spectrum of people that they've brought to the club. And you would say they're from, like, every walk of life. And you can just say that, like, Adam Simpson is just sort of making a point that as a club, you're probably going to go, well, if there's one of two choices, we can take the easy one. With the salary cap, with the soft cap, we just can't put money into a kid who may be troubled but needs a little bit more love and care, Michael.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. Like, I mean, there's been more and more talk about the coaches, like the assistant coaches kind of doing three or four jobs at the same time the last year and a half or so. And so I figure like you might be right. Like, we don't see the impact of the soft cap stuff on field, but they feel it behind closed doors.
But has the soft cap got in the way of going out on a Sunday morning? you have a bit of a kick, you go for a few froths on Sunday arvo, you sort your differences out, you come to training on a Tuesday, everyone's back to square one.
Yeah, but how many of those players can tie a Windsor knot? I think that's the important question we should be asking.
Without looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point you make. That's a fair point you make.
How's the week been, man? How have you been in lockdown?
Mate, lockdown's okay for me. I got out there, protested yesterday, punched a couple of horses, axe kicked a fucking couple of cops. It was fun. It was fun, you know. I wanted our freedom back. And even though I am in Victoria and we're getting our freedom probably back on Tuesday because we went into lockdown really quickly, unlike up at Rod Carter Studios. Yeah. And I thought, I can't wait till Tuesday. I need my freedom on Saturday. And I wanted my freedom to not be able to go into any businesses that are still not open today.
Now, did you... I found it remarkable. Okay. Now, A, there was... I think it was in Sydney. There was a motherfucker who was a fire twirler who showed up and got hosed down by the cops.
Now, can I just incredible. Say, now, no one is marching so that fire twirlers can be out in public.
When
like, if they put it to the people, if everyone had it just going, oh, mate, we're not here for this shit. Like, don't fucking, you know, if you're out there fighting, you know, for your freedom march, you go, you see a fire twirler, you're like, oh, fuck, here we go.
Dude,
this is what they're going to put in the news.
Yeah, it's like watching motherfuckers hacky sack. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
Yeah, when you see that breakout in a park, you go, okay, we've got a bunch of fuckwits on our hands. But I found it remarkable. Now, the thing I found incredible by the fact of these protests, did you know they were on? Like, I just woke up and kind of saw a bunch of footage on TV and stuff, and I was like, I had no idea that they were on. Like, what groups do you have to get involved with to find out that these things are being organised?
Well, that's when Q sends you a text.
Oh.
And you go, oh, thanks, champ. I'm on board.
But wait a second. But I'm Q. So how does that work out? But I found it remarkable. Like, I'm like, how do these people find out? Like, what groups do they have to be part of to kind of find out, you know, 10 a.m. we're going to show up in the CBD of Melbourne or Sydney and we're going to be the biggest fuckwits on the face of the earth. Bring your horse punching gloves.
What do you do with it?
Technically, I've seen the footage. Technically, he didn't punch a horse, but he was aggravating a horse. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. Did he like Is it what do they call it? Is it a bridle that they wear? Did he blink
the punch? He kind of pushed it around from the back, and then the horse.
a coward's horse. Punch.
Well, he kind of pushed it from the back, and then the horse came at him, and he kind of pushed the horse's face away. He kind of gave, I suppose, a slight bridle punch. I suppose is the best way to put it.
Yeah, right. You see, I don't know. I imagine, though, if you are a... So you and I aren't sovereign citizens, so we are not in the network.
That's true.
But I imagine, and also if you are daily on Facebook looking for mates to be sovereign citizens with, I imagine there would have been word getting out amongst them that we need to fight for our freedoms to get it back. And, you know, and now as we sit here on a Sunday night, as GWS and Essendon have kicked off their game, fighting for their spot in the eight, Australians are all one and free because these people went out and got our freedom back.
And we also have to be careful too. Like we don't know what that horse said to the bloke.
No. Yeah, I want to see them behind the horse vision. You know.
Yeah, behind the stalls footage.
You don't know what horses get up to, man.
And to clarify for our international listeners, so the towns of Melbourne and Sydney yesterday had a bunch of fuckwits walking through the street demanding their freedom from the lockdown.
How come there was no protest in Adelaide? Now, Adelaide also... so there's three major cities in Australia at the moment are locked down. There's, what, 13 million people currently in lockdown, 14 million people, which is quite a bit, but the people of South Australia just seem to go, you know what? We'd really like to be out of this quicker rather than later. So yeah, let's just all stay home.
Let's
not get around it.
How much of a fuckwit do you have to be to show up to one of those protests? It's actually remarkable.
There was some vision I was watching before of these guys surrounded in a park in Sydney. They surrounded a Channel 7 journo and they worked out that he was a journalist and these guys were filming him going, we're putting your face on Facebook. And they go, you fucking dog, you fucking lies, you cheat. And I'm like, what have they cheated? They're just like the logic of the abuse. And then they stole his phone.
Oh, dude. Fire twirler.
So it's all happening.
Fire twirler showed up to a fucking COVID protest. That is fucking unbelievable.
I think every good protest needs a fire twirl. You know, you're angry and then you're like, whoa, that guy has fire literally spinning around his head. How does he do it?
Dude.
There's someone who really needed JobKeeper and JobSeeker to stick around, I'm going to tip it's the fire twirler.
Fuck, man. I mean, imagine all those dudes. Like, if you're a fire twirler and you go into a pandemic, you're like going, fuck, $3,000 a month. I have never earned that much money in my entire year. We really need to support the fire twirler industry. I mean, obviously, it's contributes a lot to the economy. Yeah.
It's been tough for them over the pandemic.
I think the biggest economies in Australia, I think it goes iron ore, number one, fire twirlers, number two. I think that's the rule.
The big ones. But on a positive note, while we are all in lockdown, the Olympics kicked off on Friday night. And you know what? It's just lovely to see a new city around the world go into crippling debt. I think that's what everyone comes out to see and just thinks, fucking hell. You know, when you're looking at the Tokyo Olympics and every purpose-built course and event that they've got with massive stands in the background, and you just look at it and go, you ain't recouping that in a long, long time.
No, you're right. You think to yourself, like, how much do you really need a rock climbing stadium in the world?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was watching the skateboarding this morning and they had like a full course built out with a stand behind it. And you're just like, dude, Japan's skaters can't even get a fucking look in.
I've actually loved it. So last night I was watching Hawthorn v Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had on my iPad, on my iPad I had Dogs D's and on my TV I had the Olympics. And I was like, I'm in fucking heaven. Like, I want this lockdown to go for as long as I can. Like, it was magical. Mate,
trust me, it will.
Yeah, no, you're very much right.
I don't think the Olympics is going to last.
You're right on that. Yeah, yeah. But did you watch the opening ceremony?
And you realise, no, I did not see the opening ceremony. It was just one of those ones. I thought I'd just watch the footy on Friday night because it was, going to be a good game. But I just can't get into it. It just doesn't fill me with any excitement.
Really?
You know, watching the teams wander into the stadium, do you actually enjoy that bit? Like, it's just so laborious.
No, that's very boring. So I was working, so I had it I had it on my laptop watching it, but it seemed to be the bit I was busy, watching, mate, was when the athletes were walking into the stadium. So I got the kind of least exciting bit of the moment. But then I found it very interesting that when Kobayashi lit the flame, the speed eater, and then Astro Boy came in and he...
Yep.
Do you know Kobayashi?
And I believe they're going to put it out, the flame out, with some hentai porn. So there's going to be like a manga robot that will explode all over the thing and put it out.
The thing I found interesting about the opening ceremony is that all of the athletes' genitals were pixelated. I found that interesting. I found that very interesting.
So we do record this on the Sunday evening as Essendon and GWS fight it out for the final spot in the eight. Now, the eight is really starting to take shape. Richmond got thumped this afternoon by Geelong. If GWS win this, they go into the eight and Essendon drop out. So this is, if Essendon win this, puts a big amount of space between them and Richmond. They'll get a game and 6 percentage points ahead. If GWS climb in, they're half a game in front of Essendon. So GWS are fighting for every moment. This is a 6-point game, Michael.
I don't think we've ever
had one of those before. Yeah.
So we saw the Tigers go down to the Geelong Cats by 38 points. 38? Yeah. Just a few moments ago. And so is it over for Richmond? Should we take a quick look at what Richmond have coming up?
Yeah, I don't think it's over for the Tigers just yet, unless Essendon win, because then they will be 7 percentage points ahead of Richmond and a game. So I reckon that's almost 2 games.
Yeah.
But if the Giants win, I think the Tigers are still in it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And so they would be hoping for,
just looking at 11.
So they've got 11. Fremantle next week. So again, Fremantle, lost today to the Swans. Are still on 32 points as Richmond are. So again, another 8-point game right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the Tigers playing North Melbourne. Very good team. I mean, you know, you saw what they did to Carlton, and not many teams have done have kicked more than five goals in a row on Carlton. So, you know, that's not an easy win anymore, like they would have penciled in at, say, the start of the season.
Yeah, sure. And
then they've got the Giants. So that, again.
In all of that time you've been talking, I've been trying to navigate the AFL fucking website, and it's like, can you make it any more fucking difficult? Why do I need to look at the fucking Thursday game and then click a button for the Friday game and the Saturday game? Just at every fucking game on the fucking one sheet of fucking internet, you fucking... Anyway, I've stopped.
Well, that's the pages I was looking at. And I did it quite easily there, as the Junk Timers would have noticed.
Dude,
I'm very composed.
Fucking AFL website.
Michael,
fucking
no
furious.
Idea. Now, what is going on at Hawthorn? There's a lot of talk, a lot of conjecture. Clarko, he's going to leave. Mitchell, he wants to take over. He wants clear air. There's been meetings. There's been mediation. Leading teams has been there. Caro's been involved. What a fucking week for the Hawthorn Football Club.
There is a lot
going
on.
Can I just say that this is really fun to watch?
The meltdown. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I was a bit disappointed by the fact they had leading teams in there, because I was like, come on, guys. Collective mind. You got to get them in. They're the ones who can do it.
Geez, that's a good point, isn't it? Clarko and Sam Mitchell to go away on a preseason camp. Whoever survives
and bury objects.
Yeah.
I have no idea, actually, man. I have no idea. Like, it sounds like, I mean, Caro had her sources, and she said Hawthorn's leaking like they've never leaked before. So Mitchell came out very strongly and said it's not true. But
so first off, Caro came out Monday night, said there'd been a meeting. Mitchell wants clear air, doesn't want Clarko there in 2022.
Yeah, and it was described as a mediation in terms of, like, they're working out, like, I don't know, the relationship? I don't know. I'm not really totally sure.
I think, yeah, it sounded like they'd gone with the succession plan but hadn't worked out, hadn't nutted out how it was going to play out. And
what
so they were like, fuck,
are,
we really
yeah.
need to chat about this.
I
yeah.
think we need to get the psychologist from MAFS involved, because their strike rate is amazing.
That is true.
So they had a meeting, and I think the idea at the end of the day was that the idea was to work out, they hadn't worked out officially what their roles would be over the next year and a bit.
Yeah.
And so that was the reason for the meeting, and that's why leading teams guy was there.
Yeah.
But isn't
leading
teams
he's at all the meetings.
But isn't that essentially just like, isn't their job just like you sit in front of the group and they tell you that you're a shit bloke? Like, isn't that just what leading teams
I think that's
do?
A... Nah, see, Michael, you've that...
Or
you've
am their... I underestimating leading teams?
Yes. They cover all sorts of things. Like, if there's an issue with who stole someone's lunch from the fridge, fucking leading teams are in there. Who's been nicking pens from the stationery cupboard? Bang, here's leading teams. They're kind of a do-all, you know? They cover everything, and that's what's great about them.
Fuck, I love nicking pens from stationery. That's one of my favourite things to do. Start a job.
It's one of the best things, isn't it?
I'm taking 10 pens. I don't care what. I don't give a fuck, mate. I'm that hardcore. I'm gonna steal fucking blue. I'm gonna steal red.
You know what?
Yeah,
but you know what? The thing that annoys me about that, right? And I know that you would be comfortable with the pens that they often buy for stationery, the stationery cupboard, and you would be happy with your Kilometrico, you know, with the lid that you got to fucking put on and off. Whereas I need like a clicker. I need a good pen, and I'm happy to go to Officeworks and purchase one.
Yeah,
but
really?
You, Captain Low Rent, you'll go, oh, this, it says it's a Kilometrico. It's going to write for a kilometre.
Are you a clicker guy?
I will take that home and be happy. I love a clicker because I keep it in my pocket.
Yeah, I keep one in my pocket, but I have the lid. Yeah, because it's free. And so I take the lid. And I take.
Then you need a lid.
I want a blue, and I take a black and a red for safety. But I also know that a black and a red don't work for the job that I do. Like, I just want a blue. Stands out from the paper, stands out from the black print. Red can't be seen in a dim light. And so I've got it all sorted, mate. I mean,
you
it's
do.
Like those four colour pens. Blue, red, black, green.
Who the fuck's using those?
Where the fuck is the green? What purpose of the fucking green? Tell me.
But also, who's writing, you know, long passages with that fat pen? Fucking ridiculous. If you rock up to a workplace with one of those, you are being judged, and rightly so, because you're a fucking fool.
I think if you have a four colour, I would imagine that people are presuming that you are maybe some kind of child, because I feel like those four colour pens, like the green, red, black, blue, was something from my childhood. And I saw an adult using that, and I'd be like, nah, you're not right, mate.
Yeah. And what do? You use blue until it runs out, and then you go, fuck, now I've got to go to green, like a fucking idiot. Imagine submitting something with green.
In green. Paint. Like, you know, yeah, like, mate. Imagine handing in a piece of work. Hand in your, okay, try this. Hand in your thesis in green print, okay?
Yeah, you're applying for the job as Collingwood, right? You're really well-credentialed. You're Adam Kingsley. You are up there. People love you as an assistant. You go, mate, I can win Collingwood the next four flags, and you hand that over in green biro, and they go, mate, thanks for coming in. And they do it in front of you, bang, into the shredder. You hear it.
Okay, so Caro said that there's trouble at the Hawks, but she also issued a chilling warning to Sam Mitchell, okay?
Yeah.
So the quote was, should be very careful about what he says about his premiership coach. But it had a bit of a Goodfellas tinge about it. It was just like Caro just saying, like, kind of, you know, this is business, okay? You got to be very careful about what you're saying about Alistair Clarkson.
Yeah, the arrow was very pointed, wasn't it?
And so then Jeff Kennett sent.
So Caro did that on the Monday. Sam Mitchell came out on the Tuesday and refuted it on SEN with Jared Waitley. Mm-hmm. And then Jeff Kennett got involved.
It's very much a he said, she said, they said.
Yeah.
So Jeff Kennett sent an email to Hawthorn members, and by the fact I'm a Hawthorn member, I got one. And he said, "Hi there, fellow Hawkers." At the top,
that's nice.
Yeah, but I'm not a big one for the Hawkers. But anyway, we'll overlook that.
Well, what would you rather? He just said, "Hi there, fellow cunts."
Hi there, fellow private school educated children.
Yeah.
And so he wrote about the week in large, you know, good draw against Melbourne. You know, happy with that.
Yeah. Yep.
But he had a little quote here. We're not going to win every game, but we're building towards something special.
Mm.
Can I turn to another subject?
Please.
Someone sent me a clip of what Carolyn Wilson said on Footy Classified. And I love the idea that he didn't watch it.
No.
He got sent a clip. Now, I want to know who that someone is. That's actually, I want to find out who is that person, you know, clipping stuff out for Jeff. Someone sent me a clip of what Carolyn Wilson said on Footy Classified on Monday night. I do not watch the show.
Mm. And then the kicker.
And I suspect many of you do not as well.
What is this? What is this clip you sent me? Who is this Caroline Wilson? And Eddie Maguire, is he on TV?
I love it. He had to get a little jab in on the ratings. He's going, I don't watch it. And I know you don't watch it too.
I mean, he's right.
I love a bit of Footy Classified. I must say, I do love it.
Yeah, no, I really do enjoy it. I think it just, as we've said on this show before, it's hard to find, but when you watch the catch-ups the next day, you get the bits that you need. You get fucking Kano going someone. You get Eddie talking about Collingwood, even though he's not involved in it. And then you get Caro issuing threats.
Yeah, so I can only watch it the day after, like when it's put on Nine now, by the fact that I don't air it here and because I can't change my location, I can't watch it live, so I can watch it on Twitter or the next day. But
that's a big miss by Sydney Channel 9. Like, there is an untapped market. There could be at least 70 people who would want Footy Classified on the airwaves in Sydney. And
absolutely.
I'm talking prime time. Like, I would bump... You know, what big shows are on Channel 9 on a Monday night? Whatever it is at 7:30, a MAFS, fuck it off, Footy Classified, bang. No, there's your million people.
Absolutely right. I mean, I think I told the story on the pod a few weeks ago, but like as a Sydney is so passionate about the AFL that when I went to the Hawthorn Gold Coast game and tried to get in at 3/4 time and said to a guy at a gate, where do I get a ticket for the Hawthorn game? He said to me, what's Hawthorn? So he's very passionate about the game.
And then we had Clarko coming out on Friday doing a 15-minute presser and talking about how loyal he is and, you know, he's loyal to... And he kept saying, you know, the Damien Hardwicks and the Luke Beveridges and the, you know... And it's like, mate, there's only one of them. Stop pluralising their names. That really shits me when football people do that.
Yeah, sure. But the brain drain of Hawthorn has been fucking remarkable. Like, you know, from Bevo, Dimmer, Simpson, Cameron,
Brendan Bolton.
Yeah, there's like a whole bunch of people have gone on to be coaches at other clubs. Like, we should get credit for that. But then I think the big thing too also for Hawthorn is by the fact that they, if Clarko leaves on his own volition, okay, all good. If they force Clarko out next year, they will have to pay him 1.2. That's what the media is saying. And then that stuff comes out of the soft cap. And as we've already stated earlier in the show, because Adam Simpson said only private school people should be playing football, is that they get affected by that as well. So I think they're at Hawthorn, they're hoping, well, the money people at least are hoping that he hangs around next year so they don't have to pay out the cash.
But isn't it if he goes to another club, they only have to make up the difference? So say he goes to Carlton and gets 900, they only have to pay him 300 to make up that difference.
Yes, but you're forgetting the fact that if Clarko went to Carlton, they'd have to pay him $75 million to do the job.
Yes. So it's a race on for the wooden spoon now.
Let's go back to your team for a second, mate. Like, I feel like speculation about, you know, Teague losing the job. Like, you guys are doing all right. Like,
poor Michael.
You're doing all right. Like, if you won yesterday, you would have been in there look for the finals, right?
Right, but we didn't. We were embarrassing in the third quarter. I'm not hanging shit on North. I'm not saying we should have expected to win that one. They've been really good over the last month. But North kicked 7 goals in the third quarter to none, and the ease with which they did it, that is the death knell for David Teague. He's cooked. Like, there is no coming back from that. There is
really?
No
You're calling
way.
It?
I'm calling it, man. He will not be there at Carlton in 2022.
Yeah,
mark my motherfucking words.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. So Mark Neal, do you think, is the next one, or Matthew
Probably.
Knotts?
Probably Scotty Waters. You know, he's been out of the game a little bit. You know, he's probably been studying up on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matthew Primus. You know, there's people around, Michael, that we can get, you know. Norm Dare, you know, there's people around.
Normie Dare, fucking hell. Sheesh. Yeah. Paul Felt.
We're looking. Yeah, Jared Neesham. You know, there are players. You know, fucking Guy McKenna. He had a rough trot up at the Gold Coast, but I reckon he's due.
I told this story a long time ago on the pod, but Jared Neesham's final game for Freo, which was also the final Chiefs game in 98, and we watched the Chief get carried off. And he was
7 people carrying him off. big unit.
And he said, turn it up quite a bit.
Yeah.
but with my brother and I, we walked out the front of the ground and Jared Neesham was getting in a cab, like, out the front of the ground. And also, which made me think, like, we were like, that's weird. Like, it's literally like, you know, 15 minutes after the game. That's his final game as coach. He's getting in a cab. But then also,
is this
like,
a Waverley?
It's fucking Waverley. So it's like,
yeah.
Fuck, man. You're paying a lot of money for the fucking cab just to get out of the car park.
That's $220 just fucking getting onto Mulgrave Road.
Road. The Waverley car park. Why was it so fucking hard to get out of that ground? Like,
because it was like one exit onto Jackson's Road or Mulgrave Road. Fucking Wellington Road. It was fucking hideous.
Yeah. It was literally like, I remember going to a game with a mate. Two mates and their dad, and we left about 5 minutes before the game finished, and he was like, "We're running to the car," and so we ran to the car to get out of there, because it was like those few minutes. It's like the difference between getting out or staying there for another hour.
Yeah, I totally getting home at like 8:30.
Yeah. I mean, so, I always hung around when Hawthorn played there because I just want to hear the team song at the end of the game, mate.
So just on that, there is a race to the wooden spoon now. So both you and North Melbourne are equal with 4 wins and a draw apiece, 18 points, and it's only a percentage separating you. Now, who do you guys have next week? North have Geelong, so it's most likely a loss for them. I shouldn't have asked you that because you won't be able to fucking figure this out. I bet you I can get to it.
I have a website. Fucking, it's Friday. You got to click through to Sunday. You got to click through. Fucking hell.
Why are you clicking through that way? So Hawthorn are playing the Brisbane Lions, so you will more than likely lose that.
So
then if we go to round 21, you are playing Collingwood. Oh, that'd be interesting. And then Richmond are playing North Melbourne. So again, could be close.
Okay, 22. Look at that.
Yeah, so round 22, you are playing the Bulldogs, so you will lose that one. Shit. And North Melbourne are playing Sydney, so they'll probably lose that. So it could come down to round 23 for the Battle of the Wooden Spoon. You are playing the Tigers, and North Melbourne are playing the Crows. So, because David Noble came out yesterday and said, we don't want to win the Wooden Spoon. We've talked about this as a club, and we don't think it's a good look, and we want the boys to want to win. And Hawthorn are like, we want to look competitive, but fuck, we'd love a number one pick.
Yeah, I've actually never seen a wooden spoon in my life, but I did message a friend of the show, Craig Coombs. We love you, Coombsy. Earlier today, just asking about the draft of this year.
Oh, yeah.
And he said the top 1, 2, 3, he said Dacos, Darcy, and Horn.
Oh, so you won't get... Oh, so Horn is the first one you'll get.
Well, he said... I said they're father, son, so will the clubs bid on them? Yep. He's like, yeah. So he was like, the most likely you'll get Horn. So I put to him, he's the number one available, for lack of a better word, after the top two. And the other guy, they have to throw, picks at it, whatever. And so he was like, maybe Hawks need to maybe tank to get that number one in air quotes pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
But how's that for the Western Bulldogs to get
you can win the flag and get pick two. Yeah.
Yes, so they'll get Jamara pick one in 1 year and then probably pick two the following year. And yes, they should probably win the flag.
I mean, win the flag, have an asterisk next to it because of COVID, and get pick two. Just like last year when Richmond won the flag with an asterisk next to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, couple of things I've noticed with no crowds in the stadiums in Australia at the moment. And you can hear the players talking a fair bit. Now, this is something that an umpire said when they got within the last 5 minutes of a quarter. The umpire was saying to another one, and I don't know whether they can hear each other or whatever, but he said, they got down to 5 minutes, and he said, inside five. Now, does that mean there's a different style of umpiring within the last 5 minutes? Question without notice. Michael.
I mean, I would have been surprised. I would have thought he would have said red time, because usually in my mind, like, red time is like inside five. Do you know the umpire who it was? Like, was it Razor by any chance? Because if it was Razor,
it wasn't Razor. Yeah, that's a very good point. No, I don't believe it was Razor, but I heard it. I rewound it and I was like, interesting. And I looked at the clock and I was like, yeah, there's 5 minutes to go. So he's called it out to the other umpire saying that. And I reckon, keep an eye on that junk timers, because I reckon maybe the interpretations get a little bit stiffer in tighter games because they know that, time's of the essence.
Which game was it again? Was it a tight game?
It's a fucking great question without notice that I really should have the answer to. Yeah, I can't remember. I just remember hearing and rewinding it.
Should I try and get on the AFL website and work out what fucking game it fucking was, and how many fucking buttons do I have to click before I fucking see what fucking happened?
Now, another thing that I heard last week in the Carlton-Collingwood game, which I've watched a couple of times because Carlton played quite well in the last quarter, and that's probably the last time I'll get to see them play well this season. But at one point, it was in the Carlton forward pocket, so Collingwood's back line. Isaac Quainer has the ball and gets tackled, and one of the Collingwood players yells out, "Take a stoppage cue," right? So basically he's saying, don't try and release the ball. Let's take a secondary stoppage. We'll get a ball up and that way we can, reset everyone around it. But I thought if the umpire hears that, should he not take that as Quainor has no desire to get rid of the ball, ipso, fatso, holding the ball?
Yeah, but also what I'm hearing is take a stoppage cue. Therefore, cue will stoppage everything that the Biden administration is doing. It's a code, mate. They're all in on it. Q is real. And I am Q.
No, but that means Isaac Quainor is Q.
Well, wait a second. If Isaac is Q, then who am I? I thought I was Q.
Yeah. No, you're a fraud. But don't you think if the umpires are hearing that, they're like, oh, he has no plans to get rid of that ball.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it should be holding the ball. Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm furious.
Yeah. Now, Dustin Martin, lucky to be alive, has been released from a Gold Coast hospital after spending, I think, 9 days in there. And most likely going to stay up on the Goldie until Melbourne is released into freedom, which will obviously happen sooner rather than later because of our great protesters.
Are you saying that Dustin Martin has to spend time on the Gold Coast? That's probably the cruelest cut. I mean, he'd give away a kidney if he didn't have to.
Yeah. But an article came out during the week from Sam Newman talking about the day that he lost a kidney in 1967 after a collision. So he wore a kidney guard for a season after the incident and then went on to play for 13 more years. And Newman says he half bled to death. So it's a pretty grim kind of day that Sam Newman had. He said, I had my blood supply replaced twice. Twice. So don't you reckon when you've pumped him full of blood and you go, mate, we need more. And you're like, oh, maybe there's a leak. Have you thought about that?
And we're talking 54 years ago too. So
yeah,
science has come a fair way. But I have a feeling actually that Sam Newman has a story about his dad being told kind of that he might die.
Yeah, okay. Well, he says here, I kept internally bleeding and they couldn't stop it. So they put like a towel on it, obviously, bit of magic spray, nothing cured it. So they say I half bled to death in the rooms because it happened 10 minutes into the first quarter and they left me on a stretcher in the rooms. Don't you love 1967 medicine? Just go, mate, we can't stop it. Just let him lie there. Just sleep it off, mate. And how's this? He says, but my late father came in just before halftime to see how I was and I was white. Well, of course you're white. Your fucking dead dad's just walked in there. Like, that's terrifying.
You see the ghost.
Like, I'm bleeding. I'm bleeding to death and my dead dad's here. He says, I went into the urinal and pissed pure blood.
Dude.
Can you imagine that? Like, have you ever had a lot of beetroot and then you go to the toilet the next day and you're like, oh, fuck, I'm dying. And then you're like,
bowel cancer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he says, at that stage, my dear old dad went into a bit of a panic and the ambulance backed up and they took my boots off because I was still in my gear. You can't have long stops in the back of an ambulance, mate. You're not going to be able to hold your feet. They said it's pretty close touch and go. This was 67 and now they would spring right into action. Okay. And he just says, I recuperated over the summer. So he kind of just lets it go pretty quickly. He just goes, I was pissing blood, went to hospital, that's it.
But also, like I said last week, like, I'm amazed it doesn't happen more often. Because even in the picture in the article in the Herald Sun here, they have a picture of Sam Newman going for a mark, and he's, I'm not saying it on purpose, but like literally putting a knee into the kidney of the bloke in front of it. Like, I'm amazed it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, that's true. I can't believe there's not more broken backs. Like, people fly with their knees up, and if you're backing into it, that kind of meeting of spine and knee is not in the spine's favour, generally.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Football is in real life, man?
Hit me, man. Hit me.
Yeah, sweet. Okay, so we talked about Avenue Q last week, the acclaimed musical.
Yeah.
From Jonathan. He came back at you and said, glad to hear someone else hates puppets, because you said you hate puppets.
Yep.
Hands down, the most unsettling and terrifying things to grace the earth. 11 out of 10. Puppets can fuck right off.
Now, can I just say to Jonathan, now, I don't hate puppets because I find them unsettling or terrifying. I find them that I don't like them is because they're for children. Mm-hmm. And adults are laughing at them because they said a swear word. And they're like, oh, did you see that? The puppet fucking said fuck. And I was surrounded by hundreds of these people and I needed to get out of there at halftime.
Yeah, sure. Halftime. Love it. Yeah. From Alexander, just as I'm listening to the latest pub, I see Collingwood's Caleb Poulter walk in front of me into Macca's on Chapel Street. With someone who looked like a younger sister. Monday Night Maccas isn't going to get you out of the Medi sub role, Caleb.
Oh, there you go. Oh, I've got one. I've got a footballer. I have a commentator / personality in real life. So, obviously, I do Ruined It on Triple M in Adelaide, but I do that from the Triple M studios here in Melbourne. And I was in there on Tuesday morning and none other than the great Basil Zemplis.
No way.
was broadcasting from the studio next to me. So he would have been broadcasting into WA 2 hours behind.
Yep.
And I couldn't see, but I could see him say the word tranny a few times. So he was obviously getting stuck into the transgenders. He's probably had people calling in to tell us their favourite transgender stories.
An elected mayor would.
Absolutely. And then they did call-ins on how you get rid of homeless from your city. And it was a little bit of fun. Like, I was eavesdropping, you know. It was great.
Don't you put them in the back of a truck and just get them out of town? Isn't that the way?
Ship them out, mate. Ship them out. Roll them into Cottesloe Beach. Fun things like that. It was a good bit of fun. It was great to overhear it.
Yeah, and he got elected. He got elected. The people elected
him. He did get elected. Yeah. So it was great to be... I was gracing the same studios as Basil Zemplis. How lucky am I?
From Jordan. Halo Dogs. My fiance and I stayed at Paramount House Hotel in Surry Hills in Sydney over the long weekend to celebrate our engagement. Congratulations, Jordan!
Yes, congrats, mate.
Headed downstairs to the Connected Cafe for breakfast to find a few of Demons boys grabbing a morning coffee before their game against the Pies at the SCG that day. Recognised Stephen May, Bailey Fritsch, and I think James Harms. But couldn't pick out the fourth person who was repping a Big Freeze beanie. They got their coffees to go and headed off down the street. We commented that they looked very relaxed pre-game. In hindsight, maybe a bit too relaxed. We also spotted Scott Skilwood. His blue eyes gazed deep into my soul on his way out. Big shout out to my beautiful non-low dog fiance, Chloe. Congratulations.
Oh, there you go. Yes, congrats. And he says, yes, we're doing very well because they stayed at the Paramount House Hotel in Surry Hills. Have you been there, Michael, the Paramount House Hotel?
I have not, but I have looked up the website right now. And if you're looking at the their main room, I reckon you'd call it the Mac Daddy. Well, it is called the Mac Daddy.
Yep.
It goes for about $5.25 a night and looks fine. Yeah.
You wouldn't pay it?
Yeah, I wouldn't pay $5.25 for that. No, no.
Okay.
No, I get comped a lot. We're going to hit the road. We are DrTimeMaffapod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go Hawks!
Go Carlton's new coach.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.